This is Unscripted Scripture. I'm Jack.
And I'm Zach.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, everybody's. Welcome back. You probably just celebrated Halloween, spooky season. Now we get to move into November and eat a whole bunch of food and be thankful for a lot of things. Jack, I'm thankful for you, man.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm
no
thankful
problem.
For you, too.
Hey, thanks. That's why you're my friend. Jack, is your birthday on Thanksgiving this year?
Yes, sir.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
See?
Lucky guess.
Yes. All right. I'm going to say on Thanksgiving when we go around the table, everyone asks what you're thankful for. I'm going to say thankful for Jack.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I'll try to think of something
else. Oh, thanks. if we look back to the past, well, we're on episode 4 of our series, right? I got that right.
Isn't yes, that 4? Yes, episode all 4 right. Of the plagues.
Cool. So the last episode, we kind of talked about the locusts, the hail, which was like a big storm in the darkness. If I was in the correct order, it would be the hail, the locusts, the darkness. Mm-hmm. And just kind of how Pharaoh, each time he started to give a little, he started to say, ah, yeah, fine, you can go, but you can't take this, you can't take this. And every time Moses was like, no, we're taking it all. Now it gets down to the point where Moses kind of, does he threaten him? Here at the end and say, like, it's gonna be... Sorry, I just got confused with this week's reading. I think I mixed it up with last week's. Does he
Where
say...
You at?
Does he kind of, like, tell him, like, people are gonna die?
Oh, yeah, he just says that he won't come in front of Pharaoh again.
Oh, true. No, yeah, Pharaoh was so mad that he punished him.
Yeah.
To never step in front of me again, or else the next time I will, or next time I see your face, you're going to die. Moses said, all right, I'll never appear before you again.
Yeah. And that's where we pick it up, right at 11, Zach. So we're in 11:1, and, this is the last plague that, God is, he's telling Moses, like, this is it. This is the one. He's going to bring one more plague onto Egypt. And he leaves a promise saying that Pharaoh's going to let you go. He's going to let you go and drive you out completely. So it has to be some kind of joy, you know, some satisfaction on Moses' end,
right?
With all this. Like, what would you say?
True. What would I say? Are you asking me personally? Like,
I'm
what would I say to God?
No, this is a conversation. I'm just asking you, what do you think about that?
Oh. I think that's pretty remarkable. Like, that's like weight off your shoulders. I mean, I forget if God told Moses in the beginning, if it was like, hey, there's going to be 10 plagues, if Moses knew ahead of time. I think he might have known. Anyways... weight off the shoulders. So many times we wish that God would give us that like reassurance, like, hey, dude, this is your last mission.
Yeah.
And then, like, you succeeded. I think sometimes we can get those feelings where we're like, all right, God, I'm so close to this. I'm so close to this. And I know you're right there beside my side. So I think he does give us that reassurance in modern times. So just for Moses, oh man, to breathe easy. You said it well.
God promises freedom. I mean, that's what he does here with Moses. It's what he did with us. You know, he does that now.
Yeah.
His promises are always good. And they always bring hope in the end. So Moses is staying faithful this whole time for what? You know, something he can't see, but he just believes that God's going to free them through it all. So that's why I think it's so crucial to this point. And I'm sure after this, the Israelites are just in a really good mood, ready to get out of there.
Right. True. People are too. Yeah, Israelites. But anyway, so it goes through and Moses tells the people, he said, or this was what God said to Moses. He said, tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. So, well, okay. I guess that's like GoFundMe, you know? Like, yeah. You get online and you're like asking people, hey, I need help for this. But like, I figure if they're all neighbors, it's all going to the same.
But Moses was, he was the big dog, you know? He was well respected, right? Like, in Egypt. We had talked about earlier in the previous episodes, that even Pharaoh's officials have begun to see, respect him because they witnessed God's power. So
yeah,
it wasn't hard for them to prepare for this journey that, you know, Pharaoh was going to send them, set them free. And so I think people giving over their money for the cause was fairly easy for them, especially after Moses probably told them, hey, this is the last plague. Like, we're getting out of here.
Right.
Moses said that around midnight that he will go throughout Egypt, and every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh to the firstborn son of the female slave, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well.
What? I didn't know the animals died too. That's crazy. But Jack, that's you and I. Dude, we're firstborn. Firstborn
sons. That's
us,
man.
We're gone.
Can you imagine? That's
no,
us.
Dude, I can't. Every time I read this, I'm like, dude, that's me. Like, I did nothing wrong. Like, why me? You know? Yeah. Why couldn't it be the...
People filled with this fear, though. They're just filled with so much fear beforehand, and now this comes, and they're like, all this is happening. Mm-hmm. You know, I know my family's safe. Like, send the frogs, send the blood. It's in the darkness. Mm-hmm. Just don't touch us.
Right.
And now, like, he's coming.
Right.
The angel of darkness is coming for the sun.
Right. It's hitting home.
Yeah. And I referred it to the New Testament. Like, when, you know, when Jesus was born and King Herod found out, he massacred innocent babies in Bethlehem because he was scared of the new king. And so that sense of fear, like, for Mary and Joseph is similar to what the Egyptians had experienced.
Well, it's the same from the beginning of Exodus when we went over the burning bush and we talked about Moses, like how Moses was brought into. Like,
yeah.
There was killing then because there was an overpopulation. Oh, no, it was because Pharaoh didn't want the Israelites to take over. He didn't want more people. There would be more Israelites than there was Egyptians. He was afraid the Israelites would take over, so that's why he had all those babies killed. And Moses was put into the basket by his mother and survived. So like a little bit like this. So this probably hits home for Moses, like
it's coming full circle. I think it's referred to so many times in the Bible because it's such a tragic thing to think about, and it's so gut-wrenching. Like, as a mother, as a father, to sit with that fear, thinking, like, my child is might not last the next day.
Right. Okay, but Jack, here's my question. So, is there an age, like, that's the, like, if you're living in the household, or, like, say, like...
Yeah.
Say, like, I move out of my house, am I still, I don't know, gonna die? Mm. Or, like, if I have kids, but I'm the oldest son... Do I die? And that's just what goes through my head. Like, what's the stopping point?
Yeah.
That's just like my question that I'm going to ask someday. Like, so God, like, how many people, like, where was the line?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter the story because it's still pretty impactful.
Sure.
Even if you did like up to age 12. And also, do you sit down with your kids and be like, hey, like, this is what's going on? Or do you just not tell? Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
It's definitely tragic. And I wonder, like, why didn't God just do this right from the get-go? You know, why wasn't this the first plague?
Oh, yeah, because this would have woke up everyone.
Yeah. Like, if Pharaoh's son was killed, you know, how would he have reacted? How would he have acted towards the Israelites?
Yeah. You know? And I believe it's just – well, you could say what you believe, but I believe it's just because he was gaining a following. He was gaining more people to respect him, and that's just what I believe in my readings. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it could have been an experience for Moses and Aaron too. Like, it could have been their growth as leaders of the people, becoming prophets. Like, this was really his first major test, you know?
Yeah.
And like, from the burning bush, he's like, I'm going to send you out back to Egypt. You're going to set the people free. He's like, kid me? I don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So each plague just might have been like more faith, more patience, wait, like, he's going to do it. Just endure it. Mm-hmm. And now it's coming, like, the biggest plague is hitting, and they're going to be free. So it's definitely, I think it was just a matter of God continuing to harden Pharaoh's heart, you know, and everybody, all the Israelites, to grow through that. And so he promises that Moses says to the people that there will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there ever has been or ever will be.
Mm.
This is ensuring that, you know, it's the worst of the plagues. Go you and all the people who follow you. Where am I at? Yeah. Eight. So then after that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. I love that. I think that's so cool.
Because now Moses is the one storming off.
Yeah, he said all that in front of Pharaoh.
Yeah,
at least to the officials.
Right, he told him kind of what was happening. My favorite part is he talks about the storming, and it says, but among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you know the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. That's verse 7 there. 11.
Yeah,
7.
Yeah.
But I like that. Yeah, and then he storms out with Moses. I mean, storms out from Pharaoh. Moses does. Left Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. So, yeah, I think that verse right there, I think that kind of says that he needed to do this so people in Egypt would start to wonder. Like,
yeah,
it says it multiplies. The wanderers multiply. So there, I think, is our answer.
Mm. And so it's happening. Like, now the trap is set. You know, God has promised that this is going to happen. So the Israelites are preparing, just like they have been for each plague. But this time God is giving them specific instructions, like to the point instructions on how to protect themselves from this angel of darkness and protect their firstborn. And that's all of 12. Basically all of 12 is about that. So the first part, 1 to 11, just about telling the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man has to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. And he's talking about sharing it with your neighbors if the household is too small for a whole lamb. This is weird stuff. The animals you choose must be a year old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. So it's like you have the specific age, you know, a clean lamb. Mm-hmm. And then in 7, you take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, They're to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. 10 says, do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover.
Okay.
Wow.
So, you know what that sounds like a lot to me?
What's that?
Sounds like, so in baseball, when me and Jack were on the baseball team, and there was two outs, and two strikes, and two balls, we'd call it twos. And we'd have to rub our hats real fast with two fingers, and cross our legs, and then we'd flip our hats off when the pitch was pitched. And then, like, if it wasn't done right, oh, we'd have to uncross our legs. Then, like, we were superstitious that that would work. And I feel like that's what's going on here. Like, think of a – we would always blame one guy if it didn't work. Like, say the kid struck out and we're like, dude, you didn't uncross your legs or something. I feel like here we're like – they're going through this and they're like, crap, did we do this? Did we do this? Did we do this? Like, was our pants tucked in? Like, did we have our sandals on? Like, there's just – but this is just the – like, how much respect – how much faith you have to go to God. Like, this is going all in. Like, you can't just do half the stuff and expect that everything's going to be all right. Like, this is a lesson from God that I don't want lukewarm. I don't want you to be lukewarm. I want you all in. Like, I want you to do this, 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 and this.
Yeah. I think this definitely has a little more weight than a strikeout, but but there is, I know what you're saying. It's out of fear. Like, honestly, like it's all out of fear. And that's all the Old Testament was. Like, obedience to God meant we fear him. You know, we fear the wrath of God. We fear his power and his might. Just from all of these experiences, man, the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah with Abraham, and now all the plagues. Like, God can destroy you if you do not obey him. And that's why I love 1 through 11. It's so, like, nitpicky, but I think that's what's so cool about it. And especially 10, like, do not leave any of it till morning. Like, why wouldn't they leave any left? Like, why wouldn't they have any food left? And I think what I would say is because they're leaving, you know, they're getting out of there. And so God's saying, you know, don't leave anything. Like, you and everything, all your cattle, all your food, everything you have goes with you to the promised land.
I like that.
And so that, and it's called the Lord's Passover because the angel of death is going to pass over the houses. And if the blood is over the door frame, he will pass over it. If there's no blood, then he will take the firstborn.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so in 12, this is what he just said, what I just said. He'll pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. That's great.
Yeah. Like, I can't believe. I guess I'm just still stuck on all the things and just having to be all in. And then, on the house, you think that, like, you could see the angels? Like, do you think it was, like, angels were like, okay, there's blood on here. And then they look at it and they're like, oh, that's actually a 2-year-old sheep. And 2-year-old sheep blood instead of, you know, 1-year-old. I don't know. For the angels.
It doesn't say anything about, like, those types of angels in go down to the 23.
Oh, okay.
When Moses is instructing the elders of Israel, he says, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians. He will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frames and will pass over the doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. So it's called the destroyer, the angel of death that comes to Egypt. But so we're not sure if that's like God, if that's his angel, if that's, you know, the devil. Like, it's unsure what it says in I saw a link to Psalm 78:49 in my Bible. When he's talking about Asaph. Okay. I don't know how to say his name. 48:49 says, he unleashed against them his hot anger. There's hot anger again, so that ties with Moses. His wrath, indignation, and hostility, a band of destroying angels. So it's talking about God through Moses, through the people, unleashing hot anger against the Egyptians, his wrath, indignation, hostility, and a band of destroying angels. So it could have been a bunch of angels, just really terrible ones that were out to get the firstborn. I think that's the closest we can relate to it.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you a question back with 12, just I guess the whole thing about Passover.
Yeah.
Why don't Christians celebrate the Passover? Or why don't you think they do? I guess I'll just throw it to you.
Why don't Christians celebrate Passover? Mm-hmm. Because I believe that when Jesus came, that kind of, not just, I think Passover is still respected, but when Jesus came, that curtain was torn, and that's why, or I'm sorry, when he died, not when he came, when he died and rose.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we celebrate as Christians, I think we celebrate something similar in the Lord's Supper. Because just as Passover helped the Israelites remember each year, remember their deliverance from Egypt. He says in 14, this is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. And so it was a reminder of how God delivered them from Egypt. And at the same time, the Lord's Supper is to help us as Christians to remember our deliverance from sin with Jesus' death and resurrection. So I think it's very close ties with Passover and the Lord's Supper. But Passover is strictly remembered in the Jewish culture because of their deliverance from Egypt.
Right. I think as Christians, we remember it and we recognize it, but to celebrate it, I don't think that's not where we're at because of where what Jesus has done for us, and because he died and rose again on the cross.
It's out of respect that we remember because of the obedience and devotion it showed towards God, the devotion that Moses and the Israelites showed.
Right.
That's why it's so cool, and that's why we're touching on it now. Rolling up to the end of 12.
20 at verse 29, it says, at midnight the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all of his officials, all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead.
How about that prisoner, though? Finds out he's in prison, now his child is going to die.
Yeah, the Lord's alone. That's too bad. Ah, man. Yeah. I don't know, why,
this is the moment, I don't know, I would love to picture, what happened that night, was it a storm, how, like a wind of some, like mm-hmm. what kind of danger was that? You know, it's so fitting. I love how we're doing this, like right around Halloween. You know,
yeah, true.
At midnight, this destroyer is coming to kill us all. It's like total horror movie. Any crazy horror movie where you're like hiding from the killer, you know, it's exactly what the Egyptians are feeling right now.
Right.
I feel like, you know, Jason or Michael Myers is going to come around the corner. That's Jaws.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Man. Whoopsie. But, yeah, that Progressive commercial where they hide. Is that Progressive? Where they hide
Geico.
Behind the Geico? They hide behind the chainsaws?
Yeah.
They only show that every October.
Yeah, that's like all of Egypt years. Right now.
Yeah. Well, good.
So 12 keeps going, but it is the conclusion of our plague series, and so we're going to save that for next week because it's a lot and it is exciting stuff.
Right, yeah, so next week we'll talk about the Exodus, the Passover restrictions, and then the fun of the sea. So
read on if you're feeling daring.
Right, get ahead of us.
If you're feeling risky.
Yeah. We'll know which one's in school. Yeah, did the homework before it was even assigned. You know? But this time we just assigned it, so do it. But yeah, you guys always know. You can always follow us, DM us, talk to us on Twitter and Instagram. Contact us, guys. Have a nice day.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Peace.